Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everybody doing? For everybody over here in the States, I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. I hope you get to celebrate with friends and family, and you have a lot to be thankful for. I'm going to talk about gratitude in just a second. Today, this is going to be the first Thanksgiving without my sister since we lost her 4 months ago. So in my family, it's going to be bittersweet, but I am looking forward to spending it with the rest of the family tomorrow. I have a really exciting guest today. She is author, Granddaughter Crow, and she's going to be sharing with us healing harmful beliefs, and she's going to join me here in just a few minutes. For those who listen to me on a regular basis, welcome. I'm so glad that you're with me again today. And for those of you who are new to my show and turning in for the first time, I just want to share a little bit about me. I am an artist, a photographer, and an author, and I have a book, and it's titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, there are 30 manifesting stories, along with photographs, that I took of the contributors' manifesting postcards. And in my book, I include writing exercises, and it helps us get clear on what we want to manifest. And it has a toolbox full of fun exercises. And I have tips on how to manifest love, money, health, career, and so much more. So if that sparks your interest and you're interested in doing inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, please go and purchase the book. My publisher, Mango, has a sale going on right now. It's 30% off on all of their books over at Mango Biz. And the sale goes on until January 31st. So books are a great gift for friends and family for the holidays. And we're talking to an author today, and we're going to talk about her book. So that's another book that would be great for a gift. So please support authors. We need you guys to read our books. That's why we write them. We want you to read them. I'm always asking for people to keep sending me manifesting postcards. If you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com, on there it tells you how to create a manifesting postcard and where to send it. So I want to share a little bit in honor of Thanksgiving and talk about gratitude. And this is a little excerpt from my book about being in gratitude. So being in gratitude is one of the most wonderful feelings in the world. Being grateful makes us happier, healthier, and people are attracted to grateful people. People like being around other grateful people. It adds to our health. Grateful people sleep better. Being grateful makes us more compassionate and loving. Gratitude creates better relationships with everyone in our lives. We bounce back from stressors more quickly when we are grateful. The more grateful we are, the more gifts we receive to be grateful for. Grateful people appear more attractive and are a joy to be around. Just think about being around people who are in gratitude. Living in gratitude is like taking a daily multivitamin. It's great for your overall well-being. Being in gratitude can boost our careers. We are more likely to get hired for a job. Grateful people are more optimistic. Being grateful can increase our self-esteem and make us less self-centered. Grateful people are interested in others. Gratitude makes us want to share our blessings with others. Living in gratitude will increase our energy and possibly even our lifespan. Gratitude is contagious and it expands. Living your life in gratitude feels really, really good. Studies have been done at the Institute of Heart Math by leaders in fields such as cardiology, psychology, biofeedback, physics, and biophysics, just to name a few, on how gratitude can literally change our heart. When gratitude, love, and appreciation are felt, our hearts give off a different beat, which cause specific signals being sent to our brain This expands our magnetic field outward and can impact and be felt by others around us. This evidence suggests that we are connected to every person on our planet and the beautiful Earth herself. The research goes much deeper, suggesting that we can change the world by changing human consciousness. It's pretty amazing how much influence we actually have by just becoming more grateful in our life. And personally, and I know this to be true because it's been true for me, I believe gratitude is the most compelling tool we can use in manifesting and manifesting quickly. So something to think about, being more grateful for what we already have in our life during this Thanksgiving time. Next week, I have an interesting guest, Carmen Turner Schott. She is the founder of Deep Soul Divers Astrology. And her book, Sun Signs, Houses, and Healing, Build Resilience and Transform Your Life Through Astrology, uses therapeutic techniques through the zodiac, uniting sun sign traits with the 12 houses. And her book teaches how to accomplish three important things: transformation, healing, and resiliency. Okay, to get to my guest today, I'm super excited to speak with her. Granddaughter Crow is an author, medicine woman, public speaker, teacher, and intuitive reader. Descended from a long line of spiritual leaders, she is a member of the Navajo Nation. She was voted Women of the Year in 2015 by the National Association of Professional Women. And her book, Being, Belief, Being, and Beyond, she invites readers to engage in deep self-reflection as you learn about different legends, religions, and scientific findings. In addition to inspiring stories from her personal life, Granddaughter Crow shares parallel stories about the creation, flood, hero, end of times, and afterlife that come from Christianity, Hinduism, and Navajo traditions. This illuminating guide encourages you to delve into a variety of belief systems and the themes they all share, along with your own pre-existing beliefs. So if you would like to look at her website while we're talking and get to know more about her, if you go to www.granddaughtercrow.com, you can see everything that she has on there. Really interesting. So I'm really excited. Welcome, Granddaughter Crow. I'm so happy to have the chance to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I am grateful to be here. And I love what you do with Postcards to the Universe and everything that you stand for. We're flowing in sync.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. And your book, the subtitle to your book is Your Journey to Questioning Ideas, Deconstructing Concepts, and Healing from Harmful Belief Systems. And what I love so much about your book is a lot of us, well, probably all of us on some level or another, don't realize how many of our beliefs that we have about ourselves and others and life are doing us harm, and they're not helping us at all. And you really kind of delve into that in the book. So can you share a little bit about you, your background, and what inspired you to write your book?
Absolutely. So I love that you point out that when I'm talking about belief systems, I'm not only talking about like a spiritual or religious belief system. I'm literally talking about what you believe of yourself, of your life, and all of that. And so the beauty around this is, so I decided to go to college when I was about 30 years old. And the first night of college, it was an icebreaker, and the lady says, you know, hey, if you were to write a book, what would the title be? And so everybody takes a minute and writes down on a piece of paper, and then they start going around the room, and the first gentleman says something like, how to ski, and the second lady said something to the effect of how to bake oatmeal cookies, and then I'm like, oh man, I'm in the wrong place. I totally did this assignment wrong, and by the time they got to me, I had to muster up some courage, and I said, the name of my book is Belief, Being, and Beyond. And that was over 20 years ago. And they asked me, what do you mean? And I said, you know, our beliefs and what we believe of ourselves and others are so deeply ingrained within us that they can cause wars, they can cause separation within family, they can cause so many things. And so we need to examine our beliefs, find out where they came from. Do they fit our current manifestation and our current life? And so that's where this came from. And this one was really something deep within my soul, because I have spent my life looking around at a variety of belief systems, because my biological family has a belief system that rejects a person like me, a medicine person, because of their very deep ingrained Christianized thinking in that sect. You know, not all Christians are thinking that, but I am saying that my family absolutely said, no, you must go on your own way. So I'm not in contact with them, but that is what, and I know that that's deep and everything, but I don't think I'm alone, you know, when I say that. And I that's what inspired me to write this book, is to understand that my parents' belief system was so core, and it was a foundation of their life, their marriage, their ministry, because they're reverence of the Christian faith. And so when I decided to question, that's what kind of ousted me from the family. And that's what inspired this book, because I know my story is not the only story that goes like that. And so this book is out here for everybody who wants to kind of find somebody who can relate to maybe what they're going through, and help them to dig deep and see what is their authenticity and manifested life based on belief systems.
Yeah, because our beliefs are so ingrained. And I have found that artists, writers, people like you, people like me, we're the ones that question, right? We're the ones that question things, that look around and say, this doesn't feel right to me, right? Mm-hmm. And we break those barriers. And sometimes, depending on the family, like you said, that you're born into, our families aren't ready to look at themselves and their beliefs and why they have the beliefs that they have, and how they've harmed, have it's been harmful, you know?
Yes.
And it takes a brave, you know, what do they call it? The black sheep of the family, right? It takes the brave soul to say, just because you've said that that's the way that it is, it doesn't feel right to me. That doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel right. So you talk about in the book, you know, some of the concepts, and I think the first chapter is on awakening, correct? Like when we awaken. So can you share a little bit about, for the people that are listening that are going, you know, that really resonates with me. What does maybe awakenings look like?
Yeah. So the beauty is that awakening spiritually looks one way. Awakening emotionally looks another way. Awakening mentally, like, eureka, I have a new idea. It's all this about waking up. And so what I do is I kind of get us into our physical bodies and say, what does it feel like literally to wake up in the morning? And then take and write about those concepts and see how that is how you wake up in your other existences, and, you know, the emotional and mental and spiritual side too. So it helps people to get a concept that is floating around in the universe and actually apply it and ground it within the physical body. So that connection right there. Yeah.
And do you find beyond the physical body, like the emotional body or the mental body? I mean, at least this was my own personal experience, is there was a lot of painful and uncomfortable triggers that were trying to get my attention, right? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like this keeps hurting. This keeps hurting. Yeah. And, you know, and every time it would hurt a little bit more. So finally, I would have to say to myself, what is going on here? And it made me really kind of look at things. Do you find that happens a lot in our emotional awakening?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, you know, it's kind of like when you look at pain as your friend, or as something that is signaling you to something that wants to heal, then you can approach it in a different way. And another thing is that a lot of times society or religions or whatnot ask us not to listen to our emotions. In fact, they tell us, don't right. question and don't listen to you, your emotions. We don't want you to be emotional. And right. so I'm here to say, give each of your four bodies of existence a voice. Give your physical body a voice. Give your emotional body a voice. Give your mental body a voice. Give your spiritual body a voice. And let them be your counsel to lead you towards a healthy life.
Yeah. And I imagine for many, a spiritual awakening can be very powerful and also scary, you know, when people start questioning their spirituality, especially if they come in, in a very traditional family with religious beliefs, you know, they're terrified to sort of question those things. You know, it's scary. So do people, I mean, I imagine a lot of people probably come to you if they're having some questions on their spirituality and where to go and for some help. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the key things that I stand by is that the divine is so big that it will reveal itself to us in a way that we will best understand it. And so sometimes the divine comes as a lovely shepherd. And, you know, like Jesus, and we follow that. And then all of a sudden, we need to feel more empowerment, and then the divine reveals itself in another way. And so it's evolving. And when I open it up like that, then it helps people to relax that they're not out in, you know, somewhere in the blind and everybody else knows. It's a self-discovery, you know. Awakening is also self-discovery. And there are different paths that get us to the top of this mountain. And you get to take the path that you must recognize and that won't startle you too much, but definitely wake you up. Absolutely.
That wake you up. Oh, yeah. I want to talk more about that. So I just noticed the time. We're up at our first break. So let's take it here. And then I want to delve more into that conversation. So guys, stay tuned and I'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Capria is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. So if you're just joining me today, I have author granddaughter Crow on, and we're talking about her book, Belief, Being, and Beyond, Your Journey to Questioning Ideas, Deconstructing Concepts, and Healing from Harmful Belief Systems. So right before the break, we were talking about people having an awakening, you know, to start us questioning some of our beliefs. We were talking about spiritual awakening, and I personally was Italian, we're Catholic, and my parents weren't very traditional in the religious and were very open to us exploring other, you know, other belief systems. And I really got into the concept of the divine higher being when I started doing some reading and just sort of questioning a lot of the Catholic teachings. And you said that your background was very Christian faith with your family. Did you find to have the same experience when you started questioning things?
Absolutely. So my parents met in seminary school. So, you know, they are both reverends of the Christian faith and still are. And so I was raised, literally, I was the one out of their children that was selected to carry on the spiritual torch. And so I was the little girl who, I was in private school for a long time. I did go to public school. I would carry my Bible with me. I pray, you know, at lunch. I was that weird girl, right? And then when I was about 14, 15, I started saying things like, well, if God is love, and you can only get to heaven if you know Jesus, and this was way before the internet, and you don't, and people on the other side of the world don't know this Jesus,
right,
then how is that loving? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Those are questions you do not ask, you know?
Right.
So I was very young when my curious mind began to, you know, ask questions. And then it was very, very difficult because my curiosity and it leading me to my authenticity was something that was a no-no, to say the least, to the extent that they just said, you know, when I was 17 years old, I graduated from high school and they said, okay, you're out of here. And I'm like, wow. And I didn't talk to them. And I kind of connected with them over the years once in a while, but it was just so interesting because I had to give up, you know, my whole biological family, and everybody who is supposed to quote unquote love you did not. And it caused a lot of pain inside of me. But I'm here on the other side of all of that saying, I am here with you if you are going through this, any of the listeners, I am here with you. I would love it if you are attracted to this book, if you pick it up and read it. You can email me. I'm pretty accessible. You can email me and say, this is my story, you know, or whatever it is. I'd love to hear feedback.
Yeah, that would be, and I think people who are listening, they should take you up on that offer because.
Absolutely.
It was the same with me when I remember, because I went to Catholic school when I was young, and I remember being terrified because the way that you know, punishing God. A lot of religion is on punishing. And I would always think the same thing. Well, you know, especially as children, you know, you think of other little children. So if you're a little child who was born, like you said, on the other side of the world, what? God doesn't love them? God doesn't care for them? And that never felt right to me. That just didn't. It didn't feel like that could be possible, you know? So as I got older and started looking for spirituality in my own life, I had to do a lot of awakening and discovering, you know, what feels right. And I learned to trust my intuition, you know? A lot of that, when you talk about like you go from awakening to enlightenment, right? So what is enlightenment? Because I think people have an idea like enlightenment means you have to be like Jesus or Buddha or something, but I don't think that that's necessarily true.
I would say enlightenment means that you have to be your authenticity, that which the Creator created you to be, right? So, you know, there's a lot of different definitions depending on what school of thought you come from with awakening to enlightenment. But what I do is I kind of take all of that, like macro ideas, and make it into a very micro idea of awakening is like the morning when you wake up. Enlightenment is like the noontime when there is most light in the day and everything is kind of clear. But enlightenment isn't a static state, you know, it's something, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I understand. And then the next thing I'm like, okay, I just forgot.
Right. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say that enlightenment is a time when things just make sense. And almost for me, it's a very peaceful, slow feeling. It's like, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, I like the way you describe that. Like awakening is the morning and enlightenment is the brightest part of the day. I mean, like to correlate with that time, that really, yeah, I like that description. I know that you, because you talk about it in your book, you're very connected with Mother Nature, Mother Earth, and you talk about the seasons and all of that also, and us connecting with that. And I really think that... that a lot of people don't realize that just being connected to nature and Mother Earth herself is a spiritual practice.
Yes, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. You know, the beauty around that, and I'll just tell you, the book that I wrote before this one is called Wisdom of the Natural World, Practical and Spiritual Teachings from Plants, Animals, and Mother Earth. So if you want more information on that idea, then you can check out that book too. But at the end of the day, you know, that which created us created everything and all of the natural world, right? It created the natural world. And what we do is we separate ourselves from that. We separate ourselves from the natural world. We forget that we are a part of the natural world. And so when you go out into the natural world and maybe you touch a tree, if you understand that the consciousness of the tree on one level or another knows that you are touching it. Or let's say that you see an owl or a hawk fly over, or a crow, even better, right? If you see a bird fly over, it probably, I would bet 99.9% of the time, it saw you first. And it is letting you see it. So let the natural world observe you as much as you are observing it. And all of a sudden, you feel seen, you feel heard, you feel understood without words. And that's spiritual. That is a spiritual experience. Spiritual experience in the connectivity of the natural world and that whatever it was that created all of us. It's very simple. It's very simple, but it's very profound.
Yes. And I mean, if you just think about all the times people like don't realize, like, you know, if you live in a big city, when you go on vacation and you go somewhere in the natural world, why you feel so rejuvenated is because you're connecting to the earth in ways that you don't do on a regular basis. I think that's why we feel it so deeply, right? And we get these like, oh, I'm in the mountains, I'm with the rivers, I'm in the ocean, you know, wherever it is that you like to go, because you're the way it makes you feel, that's a spiritual experience. I think it is. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You talk about in your book, you give an example and you talk about enlightenment in religious things, and you use the story of the flood story in different religions in the book. Can you kind of like touch a little bit on that and what you are trying to tell us with that as an example?
Absolutely. So just a key, if you do pick up the book, mental note, go back to the Appendix B and it will show you the overall matrix of how each of those chapters roll out. But with the flood and enlightenment, the idea that the major religions all have a flood story. And science has flood stories. So floods happen. And floods are a phenomenon. How we interpret the phenomenon is dependent upon the belief system. And I think I should say that again, not just with floods, but with everything. We are experiencing a phenomenon. How we are interpreting the meaning that we are extracting from the phenomenon that we are experiencing is based in our belief system. Right. And so with the flood story, you know, the Bible, you know, will talk to us, and the Christian and Catholic beliefs will talk to us about that the earth was riddled with sin and God needed to wash all that away. So it was a cleansing. But there are other religions that say, oh, no, it was a baptism. It was that time when we become enlightened. And so I just found it really interesting, the correlation between those. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting how each religion has a different perspective on the same story, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you said a lot of that has to do with our beliefs. So in the work that you do and the people that you work with, what do you think a common belief is that many of us possess about ourselves? I mean, not in a religious sense. I mean, just a harmful belief.
Absolutely. The major ones are, I'm not good enough. I'm not allowed to be happy. I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that here's the wisdom of the natural world. I look out at the natural world, and the human race is the only organism that I have found that has a concept that says, I'm not good enough. Trees do not think that. My cat doesn't think that. The ocean doesn't think that.
Cats definitely don't think that.
Exactly. And so the beauty around looking out into the natural world and bumping up those concepts, your belief system, you can see what is maybe a human error that we have, and how that's passed through society and through some religions as well. And so that's one harmful belief system, that I'm not good enough, I'm not allowed, and it's not my turn. And that's one of the biggest belief systems that I have seen that is the undercurrent towards why a lot of people don't do what you're talking about and what you help people with as far as creating and manifesting their beauty. Because it's like, yeah, you can create and manifest, but if you don't believe that you are good enough, then once it comes in, you'll push it away.
Yes, definitely. I have found that in the work and the people that I meet, that we have this, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve it, I don't deserve to have that. People, you know, if you don't believe, like, you're trying to manifest, but you don't deserve what it is you want. I can't stress it enough. It doesn't matter how many manifesting postcards you do, or rituals you do, or prayers you do, you have to find a way to get rid of that belief, because it's not true. It's just a belief you adopted, but that's not the true story. So what do you tell us, or how do you help us shift that belief of I'm not good enough?
Right. First, I would tell an individual that is not organic for their being. They were not born with that self-doubt. That was a message or a program or a belief system that they were told, and then life continued to reinforce it. So it's not something that they organically authentically identify with. It's something external that impacted them. And when people start going, oh, well, then I get the right to be myself and I get to believe in myself. And I'm like, absolutely. And I will believe in you until you can believe in yourself. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think helping people to understand that it is not, that idea does not originate from themselves, and it does not originate from the divine.
Right. I mean, I don't think a newborn baby's first thought is, I'm not good enough to live this life that I was just born into, right?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, they took the steps to make the journey. The spirit took the steps to make this journey, right? So obviously,
yeah,
it's learned, it's told, it's passed down in the DNA, unfortunately. And But the good news is there's people who are saying, no, that's not true. And somebody who's saying that is you. So there is opportunities for us to see it from a different perspective. Yeah, I would say probably 99.5% of the people on this planet have had that I'm not good enough somewhere in their life. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I would absolutely agree. And you know, I think that it's a concept that's flowing out there that I believe the human race created. And I believe that a lot of reasons why the human race created that is not to be humble, but to keep the people in check so that they don't rise up.
Yes, absolutely. I 100% agree with you, right? It's like, how do you control people? You plant fear and you tell them they have no power and they can't do these things. And then you're going to keep everybody in a little box. And we see it's still going on today. We know it's going on. Okay, so let's take our second break here because I want to talk about what you talk about in your book, Being. Stay tuned, guys. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
welcome back. So Granddaughter Crow, I want to talk about a little bit about your chapter here, being. Okay, so when we're like in being. So what does it look like when we're being compared to, I guess, doing or wanting or thinking?
Yeah.
You know, what is being?
Yeah. So again, there are so many different esoteric wisdoms around the concept of being and the mindfulness around being, being present, etc. Mm-hmm. The way that I describe it is much like when I said awakening is like the morning when you wake up physically, and enlightenment is like the noontime when there is full light, the most light. Being is kind of like the evening when you aren't doing and you're not running around and you're not all of this. You're putting your feet up, you know, you're having dinner with your loved ones, you're sitting in your backyard, you know, you're listening to music or whatever it is. It's that time of just being. And the whole idea is that our beliefs constitutes our behavior, which is reflected in how we are, our beingness. And that the concept in this book is that there is something beyond that. So keep an open mind, stay curious, understand that we have blind spots because there's always something more, which is always exciting for me as just my soul. I'm such a curious person. Yeah. So being is that time when you just get to relax.
You know, when I was reading it, I was thinking, you know, a lot of, like, I kept thinking being present, right? Like, so many of us are not present. We're doing something or with friends or family or, like you said, having dinner with a loved one, but we're thinking, oh, what do I have to do tomorrow? I have to get this done, this done, this done, this done. And we're not present in the moment, so we're missing it. And like you said before about the harmful beliefs, talking about nature, a tree is always being a tree.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
A cat is always being itself. It's a cat, right? It's always present.
Yes.
So there's a lot we can learn from that. Why is it so hard for us humans to do that?
You know, I think that I can tell you how easy it is to get back into there, and that'll probably lead to why it's so hard.
Okay.
The easiest way that I find to be mindful, to be present, is to work with my five senses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, am I eating something? What does it taste like? Am I sitting on a chair? How hard or soft is it? What can I hear when I'm just listening? Do I hear a bird outside the window? What am I seeing in the current 3D, you know, in the current reality? But I think that what's difficult is that a lot of times when we're raised to ignore our emotional state or not to think for ourselves, then our mind can't settle in on anything, and it's constantly looking to ask the room, how am I supposed to emotionally be feeling? Is this okay? What am I supposed to be thinking? Is my thoughts in alignment with the majority? And so we're constantly searching instead of going within. And so I would also say first your five senses, and then giving yourself an emotional voice and emotional freedom to be able to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. Give yourself your, you know, curiosity, or you develop your own thoughts. And then all of a sudden you start being a little bit more.
Yeah. I find personally for me, when I'm most being present and being is when I'm photographing and I'm creating something. That's when I'm totally present in that moment. I love it. It's probably why I love it so much. And when I'm reading, I'm totally present with the book and the experience of the book. And I've always loved reading since I was a little kid. I always have a book going. And if I don't have another book lined up by the time I finish the one book, it stresses me out, right? Because, I just really, it just dawned on me talking to you. No wonder there's another aspect of why I love to read so much. It's because I'm being, I'm present.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not thinking of what I have to get done or what I, you know, regrets I have from my past. And and I think practicing being is probably very, really, it's really important, I think, that we should that we should find a practice that works for us and how we can just be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I love about, you know, you looking from a creative force to be, encourage people to be creative, and not only aligns them with, you know, the right hemisphere of the brain with the dream work and the intuition and everything, but at the end of the day, when you start creating, you're in your body and your being.
Right.
So, yeah, we're developing this whole new concept here.
Yeah. And I'm sure people who, like, there's, you know, I don't have this, but people who are runners, you know, where they get that runners, they get into that, they're present with their bodies, you know, it's like, they're being. So that makes so much sense. Okay. So what about becoming? So becoming you associate with night in your book. So what does becoming look like?
Right. So yes, you're right. I associate that with the nighttime because that's when our body is resting and it is like able to recharge itself. And so it's kind of like, I love to look at us like a lotus that is ever unfolding. And it's that point where it's about ready to wake up to the next morning, which is the beyond. But at the end of the day, it's the time of rest. It's the time of, it's a transition time. I would say the transitional time of becoming can be reflected in the nighttime when we're at rest or sleeping. It can also be reflected in the winter time when the world kind of, if you're in the area that has snow, when the world kind of goes to sleep a little bit and it's covered in snow, and it's reflected in our elder life when we're retired. And so I take a lot of these concepts and I weave them all together to help people to understand what that vibration looks like from this type of a pattern so that they can know where they're at and then they can know where they want to go.
Yeah, which is what you get into when you talk about looking toward the future for yourself and the beyond, right? Like what's beyond all of this. And I wrote this down. I wrote these notes down because you talked about, I think it was beyond in my life, and you talk about what you envision.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so beautiful what you wrote, because I think if we collectively could all envision this, we would manifest globally a new world for ourselves, right? So I want to talk about a few of the what you envision. And you say, I envision a world that promotes authenticity. So what do you mean by that?
So just like what we were talking about earlier, with regards to that you're not allowed to question and you're easily controlled because of that, this is the opposite effect of that. This is that we become what the Creator created us to be individually, and that we each are authentic and get to come together and have conversations around and dialogue about various concepts instead of just repeating what we were told to say in the same old argument.
So
So it's almost like, for me, that would be, I mean, what would it look like if you were in a room at dinner with everybody, authentic people? One, they would appreciate your authenticity because they respect their own. You know, there wouldn't be that much judgment. Another is that they would seek to get to know who you are as you seek to get to know them, and, you know, find commonalities and differences. But it's like literally being the natural world in and of itself. Just like we were saying, a tree is always a tree. A cat is always a cat. And how they interact, well, the cat runs up the tree, and that's how it is. You know, they don't judge each other for, you know, being too tall or just being a cat. Everything is accepted.
Yes, because you say, I envision a world where we all celebrate ourselves.
Yes.
Our authentic selves, right?
Yes.
Because,
yes.
So how do you feel about, this is the bad side about social media, right? About all the fakeness, you know, all the, I'm pretending to be what I'm showing you on my social media. How do we deal with that?
You know, I think that the younger generation is helping us with that. And just to let you guys know, I am an X-Gen, But I think that the younger generation and movements like TikTok, et cetera, are changing the face of entertainment, where we are no longer just putting people on a pedestal because they were in a movie or on our favorite show. We're actually now following people around the globe that we just think are funny. And And a lot of people are getting online without makeup or just showing you this or that. So I think that the younger generation is helping us to do that. And the fact that you even had the awareness to ask me that question, and I had the awareness to be able to respond, shows me that that conversation is on the table.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. You're right. Yeah, I'm also X-Gen, so yay for the X-Gens.
Yay.
I envision a world where we can embrace our differences. Because I think that if we all accept each other for who we are and stop trying to change other people to be something we want them to be, the world would just be a kinder, more loving place.
Right. I agree.
Do you see us moving in that direction? Do you feel that?
I am here to promote that. And I keep my fingers crossed. I am here to promote that. But it's almost like when you say celebrate our differences or be okay with our differences, I'd like to say celebrate them. Because it's like, does the day look down on the night because it is its opposite, etc.? The natural world helps us to see that we all get to be here. Even if we're, in fact, because of our differences, make us so much more rich.
Yeah, and I don't think we would have been born if we weren't supposed to come onto this planet being different.
Right.
You know, what would be the point?
Right, it'd be pretty boring.
Boring. I mean, we only have a few minutes. Is there something that you really, a message that you really want to get across or... or something that we should, you know, we should really think about and ponder, especially when we're talking about giving thanks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So really quickly, I think that the human race, irregardless of what time or what place you were born on, we ask these big questions. How did I get here? Who's my hero? What's going to happen? And philosophy and theology and mythology answer those, and we compare them. But at the end of the day, if you can just go within and start being thankful that you're breathing, be thankful that you know your favorite color. I know that sounds simple, but be thankful that you are able to think for yourself and encourage that, and get a journal and pick up this book, or get a journal and pick up, you know, your book, and get to know yourself and be thankful that you are authentic. That will lead to more authenticity.
Yes, it definitely will. And be just more compassionate to other people and empathetic of what their own, everybody's journey is so different, and just try to be. And I didn't even get a chance to mention, which I thought was really interesting, you have a small section where you touch on some of the tarot in awakening and tarot, which I found really interesting how you kind of correlated that. So for you guys listening, you know, in her book, if you're interested in that, it's really kind of interesting how she talks about it using the Rider-Waite. It's the Rider-Waite deck that you use, right? Which I thought was really cool. So is there something that you're very, very grateful for that you think of on a daily basis that you could share with us?
You know, I would say, honestly, I am thankful for the interface, the connection that we feel with like-minded people and with, you know, conscious beings. That I am so thankful for, to have those dialogues with my husband or my group of friends or with you on the show, and between us and the listeners. That is what I am so grateful for, is the connection. And therein lies gratitude and love.
Thank you. And I want to say also that I'm very grateful that I I had a show because having the show has introduced me to people like you, and I get to have a conversation. Because my days of having conversations about, you know, what I wore last week to a party are done. Those days are done. You know, I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm interested in conversations like this. So because of my show, I get introduced to new books, new thoughts, new ideas, new people, and I am so grateful for that. So I just want to thank you so much. So tell everybody, Granddaughter Crow, the best way they can connect with you.
www.granddaughtercrow.com. You'll find everything that I'm doing, moving and shaking, and how to email me with your stories after you read Belief, Being, and Beyond.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect. And people can, yeah, reach out to her, especially if you're having some, you know, questions about some faith. I mean, I really think that if you read the book, it'll be really, really helpful with that, you know, if you're dealing with that. So I really appreciate you saying yes to being on my show.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my God, everybody. Thank you again for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And I'm wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving, a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.